It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Inside the Birds is back. What's going on, everyone? Adam Kaplan, Jeff Mosher here for what I'm going to call, Adam, is a special edition of Inside the Birds. We're going to do something that we haven't done yet, and that's kind of a look back pod. And the reason why we're doing it is because we're a month and a half removed from the draft, and people are all excited about OTAs and Andre Dillard. But the old adage that you really can't judge a draft until 3 years down the road makes me think that now is a good time to look back on a draft 3 years ago and really see how the Eagles did. So let's contextualize it first, because this draft in 2016 was Howie Roseman's draft. And that's what makes it unique also and really interesting to look back on at a time where front office, we've talked about Joe Douglas, talk about Howie, control, power, everything like that. This draft in 2016 was a Howie Roseman draft. He had not hired Joe Douglas until after it. And so we're going to go through now and look at the picks and decide how we feel about them. And in general, we'll come to a summary afterward on how we feel about this draft. Before we do that, Adam, you used to work with Bill Polian at ESPN.
Yes.
He had a philosophy on the draft as far as a hit rate, if I'm not mistaken.
He had the numbers. He said that in the first round, the hit rate somewhere between like 47 and 50%.
Right.
So look, over time you're going to miss on first round picks. It's just, and Bill would always say, no matter how much research you do, how much information gathering you have, and you feel great about, you're still going to miss some of these. It's just the way it is. Now the Patriots are probably one of the best at first round picks. You can go over time and see the teams that are not good with first round picks. It's weird. The Jaguars have not been. But they've drafted so well in other rounds, it puts pressure on you to do that. But the 2016 draft, and we're going to get through this, and Howie's been the general manager, or whatever title he has, he's had control.
Right.
But he's been in the high-ranking executive role since 2016, other than he didn't have it in 15. He was reassigned. But I would say, going through it, and when you told me you wanted to do this, and I love the idea, there is no question 2016 has been by far his best draft.
Oh, it's a pivotal draft, absolutely, and you're right. It was, especially if you – let's go back to the context again. This is April. In January is when he had his power restored, right after Chip Kelly was fired. If you remember, his first 2 months back on the job, he had to do all these contract extensions just to start to make sure the nucleus was intact. He gave Vinnie Curry an extension. He gave Zach Ertz an extension. He gave Fletcher Cox eventually an extension. So he had to take care of all of these things. He had to wear so many hats that year, and he really had to rely a lot on his coaches and his scouts at the time, who he trusted to help him with this draft. So it was really, it was such a crossroads and pivotal moment for the franchise, because he was handling so many. If this had gone wrong, Who knows what kind
of... He would have been out of a job.
Who knows if we'd be talking about Super Bowls and anything with this team.
Sorry, so this is good. So the big reason why Howie has done such a good job since he came back, where he totally failed, totally strong, where he really failed quite a bit, is he was not a good enough listener.
Correct.
And I think, Howie, when you're general manager in your early 30s, in this market, and with the expectations, it was too early. He didn't have a right-hand man. He just didn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happened was when he came back, he clearly learned a lot, and it is one-year sabbatical. He's documented it before. He's talked about it. He went around the league and talked to different people, talked to general managers in other sports, and I think he learned a lot. You got to be a good communicator and a better listener.
Yeah.
And he just was not. And he does such a great job. I've talked to a lot of people who work with him in the last 3 years. He does such a great job of gathering information and intel from them and leaning on Joe Douglas or other people. That he's, and by the way, he's a very underrated tape evaluator. That's probably one of the things that people have told me that have worked with him.
Yeah.
If you sum it all up, I could see why they're doing well. Now, we don't know much about the 17-18 draft, as you said, you want to give 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the last year's draft really looks good in terms of the first two picks in lane five. 17 is up in the air because of injury, but 16?
Right.
We could talk about this because a lot of it has gone well, and there's some stuff that we've never talked about before.
Right. Well, let's go with number one. Obviously, the second overall pick in the draft, they get Carson Wentz. It's an interesting way that they were able to go about it. They started off of having the 15th overall pick that year. And they moved from 15 to 8 in a trade with the Dolphins that Howie has said they consummated right around the combine. You know, he and Mike Tannenbaum, who was in charge of the Dolphins at the time, very close. I think he mentioned that they were on the same floor in the same hotel, and they started having early discussions of how to get
you know
done.
that when Howie was contacting teams in 1998-1999,
mm-hmm.
first worked for the Eagles in 2000, he called the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
and he called Mike Tannenbaum.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually talked
to
both.
You mean he called the Jets.
He called the Jets, right. Yeah. I actually have talked to Mike, and I've talked to Howie about this years ago. And that's kind of how long they've known each other. So it helps when you have a relationship with people.
Exactly. So I believe, I can't remember the entire details, but what they wind up doing is trading Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell, two guys brought in under the chip era. One completely overpaid. The other, you had to give up a potential Hall of Fame running back to get. Not very good deals in the long term. To get from 15 to 8. And then they make the big move. That's when everybody knew they were going to get Carson Wentz, when they moved from 8 to 2, right, to go and pick Carson Wentz. Now, how do they know Carson Wentz and not Jared Goff? We know that Howie's also very close with the Rams.
Kevin Demoff.
And I'm pretty sure that when Howie moved up to 2, he knew that Goff was going to go number 1 and Wentz would be there at number 2. And I've heard that maybe he would have been comfortable in either scenario. Doesn't matter. They get Carson Wentz number 2 overall. I think at this point, you have to consider, I know there are people who are skeptical about the injury history, or they wonder how good he really is because last year he didn't play as well as 2 years ago, yada, yada. They got themselves a franchise quarterback. If you get yourself franchise quarterback in a draft, you've done a good job. So we could stop right here at round one and say this draft was a success because they got Carson Wentz. And ever since Carson's been here, they've had nothing but success. But in general, it was a fantastic evaluation from top to bottom.
Yeah, and it's what I find fascinating is, and I respect the Browns, I really do, but I don't know what they were thinking. Like, so I talked to someone who was with the Browns at that time, and it's not a secret that they had an issue with Carson's accuracy,
mm-hmm.
especially downfield. And I talked to the Eagles about that, and they said this will all take care of itself over time. He just needs more reps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could also talk about his injury history has been significant, but that was never the part of the real true evaluation.
Right.
The issues, and I actually talked to Bill Polian about this when I was at ESPN then. The issues were, Bill told me the level of competition was almost meaningless. He goes, if you rank the top 10 criteria for your quarterback, level of competition is much lower. It's about how many snaps you took as a college player. That's why Bill was very down. Bill and I got a little bit of an argument on TV on NFL Insiders because I said, look, Mitch Trubisky's going in the top 10. And he's like, oh, he can't. He's hardly had any reps. He's only had 1 year of production. I go, look, Bill, I'm just telling you. I'm not disagreeing with you. But the reality is, this guy's an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of a project, but it's a quarterback-driven league, and he's going in the top 10, whether you like it or not. But I got his point. He wants guys, if they're not seniors, they better have a minimum of 2 years of experience, but you want 3. And
sure.
Wentz came on later in his career at North Dakota State,
But he missed time. He missed a lot of his senior year.
Yeah,
with
he had the wrist
hand.
Injury. Yeah, he had the wrist injury.
They loved him. The Senior Bowl was really a big
move. You ready for this
for
story? This is unbelievable. Speaking of the Senior Bowl, that's what I was going to get to next. So, truth be told, I had no idea they like Wentz. I'm standing next to Jeffrey Lurie for 45 minutes. We're just chatting. I did not know then that they liked him or were even considering trading up. This is well before the trade's up. So I didn't know anything. I'm just watching Carson Wentz, and I had no idea how good of an athlete this guy was. I've gone to the Senior Bowl since 2002. He is, if he didn't have the best Senior Bowl I've ever seen by a quarterback, Carson Palmer did in 03 or 02. Mm-hmm. Wentz is probably number two. He was phenomenal. Every throw, big, athletic, 6'5", 240. He had everything, but I didn't quite realize that level competition is not that big of a deal, as I learned from Polian. The Eagles did so much research on this, and this is where the Browns really screwed up, Jeff. How the hell, when you need a franchise quarterback, do you not spend the kind of time the Eagles did? The Eagles spent 2 days with this guy.
Right.
They spent 2 days with Goff. On that caravan, let's get to that. Let's fast forward this a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So we talk about the Senior Bowl. As I remember it, on the caravan out west, it was Howie Roseman, Jeffrey Lurie, Frank Reich, Doug Peterson, the quarterback coach John DeFilippo. I believe Tom Donahoe was on that trip.
Yes.
I think he was on that trip.
Yeah.
They were all out.
The trip to Bismarck.
Yeah. Yes. Out west. Well, remember, they went out to work out golf and spent 10 days.
Right.
As I understand it, according to multiple sources, they were split going into that week. They could say whatever they want and try to dispute it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to back off. So I know what happened. You know, when I retire, I'll tell you really what the real story was, but I'm gonna go as close as I can to telling people.
Next week?
Which is pretty much, I'm in my 50s now, but I'm going to give you a lot of stuff that no one knows. So they were split, but after that caravan, it was Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it Wentz? You watch him go up in the chalkboard. They also brought him into their complex, but you spend 2 days with someone in every way, shape, or form. And by the way, they spoke to other people who were around him.
Mm-hmm.
They were convinced after the 2 days of spending time with him, this was their guy. This guy would change their franchise for decades. If they get it wrong, Roseman's out, Peterson's out, they're all going
to
lose their job.
They had to stake their reputation to somebody.
Yes. Now, I'll put an asterisk. Who knew about Nick Foles? Now, that's another part of the story.
Correct.
Which we didn't know about.
Correct.
But they were going to stake their reputation on it. They were going to get it right. They knew after Jeff that trip, it was once. I don't care if they say that they knew in January, they're effing lying.
Right.
That's not the case. I know that I said Lurie was standing next to me. He saw it.
Right.
But I didn't even ask him about it. I will tell you that I saw Jeffrey at the owners' meetings, and what he did tell me, we were alone for a while. It might have been an hour before all these media people came around him. But I could just tell in his voice they were getting a quarterback. I didn't know it was going to be Wentz then.
Right.
This is the third week of March. They may have made the trade up with the Dolphins, and also the DeMarco Murray trade, which we should have mentioned. Remember, they that was part of it to move up.
Yes, that's right. I forgot.
That was another part of it.
Yeah.
But to finish this off here, they knew this was their guy. They had done all the research the Browns were not willing to do because the Browns held some minor issues with Wentz against him, which was completely foolish. That's why they got fired.
Mm-hmm.
They deserved to get fired. They wrote their own ticket out of town. If you can't evaluate quarterbacks, you're going to get fired. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Roseman, Lurie, all the coaches, and Tom Donahoe came to a conclusion. There was no doubt in their mind. Now, there were some people of that group were either on the fence or leaning probably towards Goff a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But after spending time there, it was over. It was over.
So they decided, they figured one guy isn't sure what coast the sun rises in, and the other guy you sit down with and have a dinner, and he's probably surgically explaining everything he does on the whiteboard.
Whatever it was. Whatever.
Interview process is very important.
Yes, whatever he blew them away with,
right.
Intelligence. You see how big the guy is.
Of course.
That's part of it because, and plus, they
And remember, that was a pro-style offense that he came from.
Yes. Yes, Wentz, he was
able to read defenses and
yes,
make calls.
Yes,
and checks
and we've talked about this. There was a little bit of this when he came in. He thought he knew too much. He thought he knew a lot, and they knocked that out of him. But they were new because of his high intelligence, athleticism, toughness,
mm-hmm.
and he great guy. Like you saw what Chris Long said in his tweet recently about when Chris announced his retirement. Carson thanked him, and then he talked about Carson's so authentic.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the best human beings you'll ever meet. Trust me on that. So that's all I got on this, but I wanted to get that out because we haven't talked about this.
No, it's a really it's a fascinating
publicly.
Story.
Yeah.
And then obviously they completed that trade with Cleveland, as you mentioned. They didn't have a second round pick that year because I believe that's the pick that went along with Nick Foles to the Rams to get Sam Bradford. So they didn't have a second round pick. Then they go all the way to third. So here's what's really interesting about this draft, Adam. They pick second overall and then don't pick again until the end of the third. Isaac Seumalo at 79th. 77 players across go off the board before the Eagles can. And remember, he's trying to build this thing back up before they're able to get Isaac Seumalo. You got to give a lot of credit to Jeff Stoutland, who Howie had to lean on for, again, without,
boy, does he lean on
without
him.
A Joe big, Douglas, big he had to lean right. on somebody sure. to help him with offensive linemen. And Isaac Seumalo is an interesting guy because he started off not playing as a rookie. And then when he finally played last in 2017, it did not start very well.
No, he actually, I thought it was going to be a bust.
Yeah.
Jeff, you and I know the real story here. They drafted him to be the replacement for Kelsey. Jason Kelsey.
Right.
The Eagles actually made him available. Kelsey, I was at ESPN then. I think it was like 2016, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why they drafted. Well, I mean, I know that's why they drafted Isaac thinking he'd be the replacement for Jason at center, not a guard. It is so worked out that he's, I don't have an explanation for it. Although I was told by multiple sources he had a lack of confidence first 2 years. Somehow the bell went off last year.
Finally, yeah.
And he played really well, so much so that he got an extension. I never saw that coming after the first 2 years.
And this just goes to show you the fine line between what we consider bust and success. Same thing with Nelson Agholor. First 2 years, bust. You know, they draft this kid in 2016. He doesn't play. And then by 2017, they tried to start him. Had that terrible game against Kansas City week two. Pulled the plug on him. Put Wisniewski in. They go win a Super Bowl. Then he starts off as Wiz's backup last year, but then has the tables turned. He gets in. Wisniewski doesn't play as well early. He gets in, and then, as you just mentioned, earned himself a contract extension. He's not a Pro Bowl guard yet. He's not. He's a good starting guard, though. So
but,
you got him in the third round. That, to me, is a
okay.
good pick.
Okay, let's say in a couple – Kelsey, this should be it for Kelsey. Maybe he gets get 2 years out of him.
Maybe.
But he could be he still could move to center.
Absolutely could be their center of the yeah. future. So as we sit here right now, 3 years later, Isaac Seumalo is your starting left guard on an offensive line that is considered – one of the best, if not the best, so that's a good pick.
Yeah, so the way it works is first-round picks, this is the way that personnel people explain to me, first-round picks must start by the end of the rookie contract.
Mm-hmm.
Wentz is. Third-round picks, low-end starter, high-end backup, he's better than that.
Right.
He's probably above-average starting guard. That's a home run. The first two picks are home runs, and they did not have a fourth-round pick.
They did not have a fourth-round pick. So here we say 77 picks went between their first and second pick, then all the way, not only do they have a fourth-round pick, they pick Wendell Smallwood 153rd overall. So my quick math tells me that's about 80 picks between 79 and 153. What a draft. I mean, you know how much Howie loves to wheel and get picks, right? He twice has to sit there and watch more than 70 guys go over the board before he gets to be able
you
to
know,
pick
I'll be honest with you. After what happened this year, I'm no longer subscribed that he may think he wants to get picks. He's willing to not have any picks.
That's true, but yeah, I just mean he always talks about getting antsy
when
he sees players like going off the board.
He actually said exactly that. Right,
so I know. I remember 1 year he didn't have a second or a third, I think, and he said he was walking around the NovaCare complex to
pacing.
Walk off his like he put his Walkman on and he went outside. And
Walkman?
Walked
what is this, 1980?
Around. Well, you know how he's.
I'm kidding.
All right, so they pick Wendell Smallwood at 153rd overall. This is a really hard pick to decipher. So let's first say when you get into the fifth round, as you just laid out, now your expectations change. You hope a player becomes a starter or he becomes a piece. You hope.
Contributor.
I mean,
it's just a backup contributor, special teams.
Right.
They got it right. That's what he is, right?
I would say.
To this point.
Last year, he was their most reliable runner. Now, they're not going to bring him back, and he may not make the team this
year.
He probably won't. But last year, he was your – when you needed short yardage, you weren't getting it from Josh Adams.
See, my only problem with him is he's been given an opportunity to be the guy, and he's blown it every time.
And he couldn't handle it, yeah.
But they got the pick right because he's exactly what you get in the fifth round. Spot starter if you're lucky, special teamer, good backup player, and that's what he is.
Yeah. Now, could you have done better? Possibly. I don't remember who went in the fifth round that year. He doesn't catch the ball very well, which kind of makes you question the match from scheme to personnel. a little bit. But again, I don't know what was available in the fifth round, that, and he might have just been the best, and they knew that they were going to move on from Ryan Matthews. That you mentioned they had already moved on from DeMarco Murray, so they really needed to stabilize that running back committee. They had another pick just 11 picks later. So here Howie has to wait all this time, and now he finally gets to make two picks within an 11-pick stretch, and he takes out of TCU Halepulivati Vaitai. Do you remember your first thought? Just as a reporter, when they took this guy's name, I have to spell this.
I happened to do homework on this guy, and I remember this is a Jeff Stoutland special. This is one where he needed to drop weight. He was a monster in size, and he couldn't get on the field until he lost weight. And then something happened at 7. I don't know what happened, other than I couldn't believe how well he played when he had to play. Now, obviously, he aggressed a little bit last season, but he's a typical fifth-round pick. They got it right to this point because he's a bit of pretty good contributor. I think he's going to get reps at guard. Doug Peterson won't confirm this. We'll find out, obviously, over time. But I think he's going to – in fact, I know he's going to get time at guard.
Yeah.
To this point, they've gotten it right because he's still on the roster. He's a contributor.
They want to – as much as I want to kill him because he's – for you know, when you see an offensive lineman, you can kind of excuse technique. You hate to see an offensive lineman who doesn't play – tough. Competitive toughness is one of the hallmarks of being an offensive lineman. And sometimes you watch him play and you feel like he doesn't respond that way. But he won a Super Bowl. He was the starting left tackle on a team that won a Super Bowl. So what am I going to do? Sit here and say he's useless? It was a bad pick.
No, they got the right. They got the pick right.
They're right. All right. Let's move on. And this is going to be a really interesting next pick. It comes in the sixth round at 196. And it's interesting because he never played for them, but he's now back on the team. And that's safety Blake Countess.
Correct. So he was really drafted as he was a corner in college. For whatever reason, the Rams thought he'd be a safety, and he was really a kickoff returns really what he did for them. He did as a professional. He's had two interceptions. He's actually had a sack, but he's going to be the Eagles' fourth safety this season if he makes the team. They did extend his contract. You would think he'd make it, but he's not guaranteed to make it. But they missed on that one. So the way I value this, it's just like with Pumphrey. If you cut the guy. You missed.
Correct.
I don't care that he's back. If you evaluate it correctly, if we're being fair here, they missed the pick. Now, he has a chance to revive himself, probably if he's on the roster, dress as the fourth safety and kickoff returner.
What I wonder is, when we look back, is why did they cut him? Because he was a corner, and you knew in 2016 they went in. It was not a position of strength for them. They had Jalen Mills at the time. Did they draft him in that? Oh, we're going to talk about him because they drafted him in the set. They actually drafted Jalen Mills behind Blake Countess.
Amazing.
So what they really had as starters at the time, if I remember correctly, were they had traded Byron Maxwell, right? So, my gosh, who were the starters at cornerback? They didn't have Ronald Darby yet. Who were they playing at corner? Oh, the kid, Leotis McKelvin.
Was
one starter.
Always hurt with a hamstring.
Always hurt.
Good call by you.
And I want to say...
he was a first-round pick, by the way.
Yes, he was. A high first-round pick. And then the kid, Nolan Carroll.
Yes, who was inconsistent, got hurt.
Right.
He's out of the league, yeah. I remember Howie saying that he was done with patchwork, with corners. Because when he made the trade for Darby, he's like, you know what? That was what he said. He said, we're done with patchwork at cornerback. That was on him. Look, that was on him. He did not do a good enough job of developing the cornerback position.
Correct.
But the seventh round pick was Jalen Mills. He dropped farther than people expected. He didn't run very well. The thought around the league was, Jeff, that he would be a safety, not a corner.
Right.
I was wrong on this. He made it. He thrived. He still doesn't run that well, but he's tough. He's smart.
Right.
Before she's coming back from a broken foot, but that was a hell of a pick. My God, when you get a start in the seventh round, that's incredible.
By the way, I want to go back and remind that Ron Brooks was their nickel corner, and he was another Buffalo. So
yeah.
Jim Schwartz had a big impact on the personnel
at the time.
Yeah. They had Leotis McKelvin, who he coached in Buffalo. They bring in Ron Brooks. So they start Carroll, McKelvin, and Ron Brooks as their slot.
And
so that's their top
Darby.
Three.
Yeah.
They had Eric Rowe at the time. So that's their fourth corner at the time, right? And then they draft Countess and Mills.
Boy. Schwartz must have hated him. They traded him before the season started.
I was so critical of that move. I got to say.
I remember you being pissed off
about
it.
I just didn't. For a team that had not drafted well or high at corner for so many years to give up a guy after 1 year.
And by the way, it wasn't a chip. I'll show Chip.
Right.
Howie didn't do that. It was that Schwartz didn't want him. Simple as that.
Absolutely. They also had Jalen Watkins, who was a cornerback safety hybrid. So they had some. They didn't have talent, but they had depth. And it was very interesting that they went and drafted Countess and Mills, and that Countess didn't make it, and Mills did. But we have come to learn that Jim likes the hard-nosed, tall, physical corner. That's his calling card, too.
Right? I like them to be able to run, but yeah.
He likes,
yeah.
Well, of course, everybody likes corners that can run. But in the absence of, Jim specifically prefers physical guys. Go back to Courtland Finnegan, right? All-terrain Werner. He always liked those kind of big, tough corners. So he has that in Jalen Mills. So that's pretty interesting. I guess you'd have to call, again, you win a Super Bowl with Jalen Mills as your starter. That's a good pick. And he's a sixth-round pick.
Great pick. Seventh round.
Absolutely.
At a top-four position, a corner. Alex McAllister, let me tell you about him. He was the next pick in the seventh round. He never played for the Eagles. In fact, he's never played an NFL game. Are you ready for this one?
That was the Howie Gator pick.
I'm at OTAs, and I see a guy with a jersey on. I'm like, he must be like 6'5", 6'4". And he looked like he weighed about 200 pounds. I'm like, this guy needs to get fat.
Yep.
He looked like a rail. I mean, this guy will never make it, and he never made it. He was too thin, but he did have explosion.
Mm-hmm.
He was built like the kid who was a first-round pick by the Browns. Banner drafted him.
Mingo,
yeah. But he was so thin, he never made it. And then the guy, Jeff, their last pick, if he didn't tear his ACL, he would have made it. Being the backup mic was Joe Walker.
Yeah, tore his ACL. And then he came back the next year and got hurt again. I believe he had a pectoral injury or a chest and shoulder, something like that. He was always hurt.
It's a shame because they got that one right and he got hurt and he was out of Oregon. And he wound up going to the Cardinals and just he's kind of hanging around loosely. But that is by far the best draft that Howie Roseman had him. And I don't know how you do better than that.
I've been told that kind of school of thought is if you get three starters out of a draft.
You want two. That's your goal.
I've been told three.
If you get three, do that. Well, no one does
it may
that.
Depend. Like they only picked five players this year, but most teams pick between seven or eight.
Two is. I've been told for 20 years, two is.
That's
if you
low.
Get two,
I mean, that's like 25% of your team. Starters or Pro Bowl
starters.
Players? Starters. Starters. Yeah. I've heard
you get two,
three. So it's got to be somewhere in between.
Two
right?
or three. Okay. Two
All
or
right.
Three.
So Carson Wentz is a starter. Isaac Seumalo is a starter. Smallwood last year was a starter. Mills has been your starter. Yeah. So this is good. You can name three other guys. Vitae. And Smallwood, two other guys who are starters at times.
Or good, productive.
Capable. Right.
Top backup, low-end starter. If you get that, this is like an historic draft.
Mm-hmm.
They got their franchise quarterback. They got a starting guard, a decent backup in Smallwood, inconsistent. But Vitae, a good backup. Mills, a starter who played way better than anyone believed he could.
Right.
Really outstanding draft.
That's what people forget. People want to kill Jalen Mills, and that's fine. He's not great. But in the seventh round, you're hoping to get a guy who makes the team.
Oh, it's
the percentages of seventh is overwhelmingly against
right.
Right.
Even making
so,
it. Right. It's
a great draft. You had a sixth rounder and a seventh rounder. Well, sixth rounder didn't make the team, but he's still in the NFL, and now he's back. And then a seventh rounder who helped you win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I think Howie clearly learned about listening to the right people. Mm-hmm. Jeff Statlin is, I know, it's not a secret. Everyone listens to him. He leans on the right people. 17 draft, too many injuries. We just don't know enough about it. We're not there yet. We'll do this next year and we'll review it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So good draft. This is one, as you mentioned.
It's actually a great draft.
A great draft. There's also the school of thought if you get a franchise quarterback in a draft, it doesn't matter what you did and everything else because that lifts the franchise so much.
It's the most important position on the team. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember who the Seahawks took in round one and round two of the year that they got Russell Wilson. But that's because they
that's
got Russell
point.
Wilson.
I have no idea. Yeah.
So, anytime you can get a franchise quarterback, you've done an excellent job. If I'm going to ask you this, what stands out, other than Carson Wentz, who I think when you pick a quarterback number two, supposed to be a good player.
Better be.
What stands out to you most about this draft?
That year?
Mm-hmm.
For them or for the whole league?
Just for the team.
Anything that stands out to me, high character. Really high character. Although there's some issues with Smallwood.
And Mills,
and
too.
Mills thing got diffused.
Right.
But Smallwood, there was one incident early in his life that
was
questionable.
Yep.
But I would say the biggest thing in how he's gotten right since he's come back in personnel, the character of these players, no one gets into trouble.
Right.
I mean, they really, and I know the coaching has been great, but man, the high character. I think that's a good question.
To go
I think
along,
that's
the thing
stands
that stands out to me is that a lot of these guys have had to deal with adversity, and so far have persevered. Wentz with the injuries, and his rookie year, he had to make changes. He had to make changes through a lot of picks, and you saw what he evolved into. Seumalo had to deal with the adversity, self brought whatever he couldn't
confidence.
Crack confidence.
Yeah.
Vitae Once he started to practice and get those, we've talked about this, he's much better when he gets the reps in and not thrown in on a fly, hopes to win a Super Bowl. Wendell Smallwood last year, for everything he had been through in his first 3 years, to constantly get benched in the first year, second, third, fourth, remember, the year before, in the Super Bowl year, he was out of it. To come back last year and I just think that, you know, Jalen Mills, all these guys, to me, it shows that, to your character point, they came back from a lot of adversity. This was a good draft and a good franchise-defining type of draft.
It's, again, how he's been in charge since 2010. It's by far his best draft. Right now, it looks like it's going to be a historic draft, and we'll see if he could duplicate it. But I think he's learned a lot about himself and how you need to run a front office. You need to listen to your people.
Absolutely.
You need to listen to everyone, not just a couple people, and that's what he's learned.
All right, well, that was a fun podcast. I enjoyed looking back on the 2016 draft, and I think we gave it a pretty good. You want to give it a letter grade? You give it an A?
That was fun.
I think this draft is an A.
It's a great idea, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question.
We'll do it again next year for the 2017 draft. All right, thanks for listening to the Inside the Birds podcast. For Adam Kaplan, I am Jeff Mosher, and of course, we thank you for flying Inside the Birds.